One thing that I love about the season of Lent, at least in the Northern Hemisphere where we live, is how as the days lengthen and the buds start to swell and even start to burst, it is clear that this is a liberating season that I hope you've been discovering halfway through now, that Lent, as we can invest in it, and shedding what we don't need, is far more dynamic than dreary. And the scripture today leads us deeper into that theme. Act 1, the burning bush, how God evolves. Beware of stopping for roadside curiosities. They will change your life, as Moses discovered. He pauses to recognize, notice this bush that is burning but not consumed. And it turns into a God moment where he feels presence and he hears a voice and he gets a word. And it was not what he was expecting. He's told to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And in the course of that conversation, he says, you know they're going to want to know who told me to say this. Which God? What's your name? And that was a really normal question at the time that this story is set. The idea that there is one God overall has not evolved yet. That there's lots of gods. They all have names. And it's really important to figure out which one you're talking to and get on the right side of that God and figure out what they like and what they don't like and keep them happy so that they'll be happy with you so that life will go well. But this presence and this voice answers differently. It opens up a whole new horizon. I am who I am. And there's no good English translation for this. Another way of translating it is, I will be what I will be. And my favorite translation is, I am becoming what I am becoming. Now, part of the interest of this is that these stories that are told get written down 500 years later. So these are being told by people who are living in exile in Babylon, when their relationship with God is being completely reinterpreted and revolutionized. God is becoming something new, and so are they. Very traumatic and unstable circumstances are giving birth to new insight. In fact, Karen Armstrong in her book, beautiful book, The Great Transformation, says this is actually part of an evolutionary jump forward for all religion. It's happening about the same time in India and China and Greece, this shift that of awareness that the divine presence is beyond limit. As the medieval philosophers would say, God is the one whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. That's a seed planted in our awareness that will change the world, is changing the world. Act 2, Jesus and the fig tree, how we evolve with God. So Jesus, as we meet him in the gospel today, is on his favorite theme, repentance. But it's not the moralistic tirade against individual sins. It's this bigger project of saying this old idea of God is holding you back. This God that you can barter with and bargain with and figure out and control with your offerings and your things you do. God is about swapping out the hard drive and living completely different, from a different place. In fact, this picture of God in the parable is, he throws at them as the gardener who's saying, just give me another year. I'll work with this useless tree and get blossoms out of it anyhow. But I think the hidden gem of this story is actually in its setup. In the time of Jesus, the answer to, so are these Galileans more guilty than other Galileans? It would have been, well, of course, or this wouldn't have happened to them. The idea was that the gods were in judgment over humans. They knew stuff we didn't. So even if it looked like a bad thing happened to a good person, well, of course God was paying back those Galileans for whatever they did. Of course the tower fell on them, and who knew what judgment the gods were evoking, but there were no innocent victims. But Jesus says, no, that is not how it works. That there is something much bigger happening. That we are being invited into a new understanding of God, to leave behind what our species clings to so tightly, which depends on our guilt or worth. The project is how we join this becoming of God, who is operating from mercy and is operating in a different way. The great sociologist of the 20th century, René Girard, who I think has done some of the most important work in our time in really understanding how this story of Jesus, especially the part we're going to turn to in a few weeks, Jesus standing this way on the cross, is undoing the violence of our species. He says that from time immemorial, humans have used violence to create peace. So we have a conflict, and we figure out, oh, the problem here is that one over there, or those people over there. And we get rid of them, exile or kill them, and notice that miraculously, things calm down. That scapegoating makes us feel more unified, more justified for a while. And then problems start over here. So now we need another one. That's the problem. Get rid of that and everything will be okay. So we do that. It works. And then it doesn't. And the soul sorry cycle that we have created for our civilized history of scapegoating endlessly. It works, except that it takes more violence each time, and the amount of calm lasts shorter. Girard says that this story that has been told, you don't even have to believe it, but it's stamped all over first the empire and then the world, this story of the divine one who is the innocent victim, who is willingly standing in this place of the victim. So God is identifying with a victim. That has broken the wheel, even though we haven't gotten it yet much. That slowly over time, this is unraveling the myth that violence fixes anything. And so we've begun to see something now that we can't unsee once we've seen it. And he says that now the effect of this story, it's in the groundwater, even with people who don't know the story. It's getting stronger. That we more quickly now look at the innocence of the victim. We even say we presume it. And we are starting to notice how violence hides out in all kinds of little behaviors we never would have called violent, microaggressions. And we are noticing, I mean, case in point, this ugly war with no end in sight, which just joins the ugly wars of our time and before our time to say, this just doesn't work. Violence doesn't work. Certainly it's not working there, but it doesn't work here either. That is a shift. And yes, it seems like it's getting worse. That is what always happens when old ways are threatened by new insight. Could this be part of the great becoming of God in our time? How God is unfolding in the world? At our Tuesday Lenten book study online, we had another engaged and engaging conversation around the Howard Thurman book, Jesus and the Disinherited. And there were comments in the end in two strong directions. Little has changed at the structural level since civil rights. Lots has changed since civil rights. I'm wondering if there is a kind of common ground as we gather around this name, if you can call it that, I am becoming what I am becoming. So then the interesting question is not, well, what does that mean? But, okay, where do we see God becoming in the world? Where do we see that those prints? Where do we see that action? However we define that. It can be changing attitudes. It can be acts of courage and kindness, moments of reconciliation, movements of possibility. It's happening all over the place. And whenever we see it, just go join that. Go join that action. Go do it. Go be it. No matter how small. I think maybe there are bushes burning all over the place, all along our roads, if we're looking to see them. And maybe we are all called to be Moses, telling the people back home, or Pharaoh, that God is up to something, that God is calling us all to lay down these weapons, lay down our weapons, to learn our true family ties, to stop scapegoating and punishing and violating. That is part of God's becoming in the world. And it happens through these hands, these voices. And it's unstoppable. Evolution is a fact of the world. It happens everywhere, always. It only goes in one direction, despite the asteroids that hit. It is still moving forward. So this week, as we go through our days, just notice what bushes are burning or just flickering in the corner of your field of vision. And wherever you see those signs of life, pause and listen and say, who are you? And don't expect a name, but expect a word. Or to switch images, do some gardening around this barren fig tree. But do it barefoot. Take off your shoes, because it's all holy ground.